the name of the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we serve you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We adore you. Praise God. Luke chapter 22. We welcome all of our guests that are with us here today. Thank you for coming. We pray the Lord has already blessed you, and it is our desire that he continues to do so. Pastor is not going to be in this pulpit very long. However, we have a very strong message today, and we need prayer. We need worship. The adversary fights every message, but he certainly battles these kinds of messages wherein we reach for those whom the adversary feels like he's got a sure deal on. And we have come here to see God do a great and mighty work. If you're here and never received the power of God's Spirit in your life, you can have it before you leave here today. And if you have never experienced the wonderful baptism in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will baptize you today in his name, and you will become a part of the family of the living God. Nothing better than that. Luke chapter 22, we're going to begin with verse number 54. Luke 22 and verse number 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. Say, Peter followed. Say, afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him, speaking of Jesus. And he denied him. Say, Peter denied Jesus, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. In verse 59, and about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he, Jesus, had said unto him, before the cock crow, before the rooster crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. For a few minutes here today, Pastor's going to kind of step into an area of going back in time to be an evangelist for a few minutes here, if you'll let me. But I'm not only evangelizing those that need the Holy Ghost and need baptism, but I'm evangelizing the church today. I'm evangelizing some of us that have let things get a hold of our heart, that if we're not careful, if we're not careful, they're going to cause us to deny him. So I want to talk to us here today for just a few minutes, as Sean Dooley put it, on Super God Sunday. I want to talk to us about the sound of a rooster. The sound of a rooster. Will you help me pray? Reach over, get your neighbor's hand and lift it up in the air. And let's call on God together. Father, in your mighty name, I need your power and your presence today. I need you to anoint my mind. Help me not to get in a hurry, Lord, but help me to minister the word of God that men might hear and receive the word into their heart. I pray your spirit in a powerful way right now. Oh God, break every yoke of sin. Crush and break every chain of bondage. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And we bind every lying voice that would try to whisper into the ears of men and women. Lord, today we rebuke the power of the adversary. And we loose the glory of God to operate in this building here this afternoon. Touch the hearts of men and women that are here. Help us to break free, God. Help us to break out and get a hold of you in this service and be delivered in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. Clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Now, when God created us, he created us in his image. And I know that the world's religion today has painted this stoic, pious picture of God, this individual that sits upon the throne and folds his hands and sits there and never gets stirred up or never gets emotional. But I'm here to tell you today that God is an emotional being. One of his most powerful emotions is love, for God so loved. He was so in love, it compelled him to send his only begotten son to a world that was lost and dying, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but be saved. God is an emotional God. He is a God of anger, and he is a God of hatred. I knew you'd get quiet on that one. But God hates sin. He hates it so much it nailed him to a cross. He let it shed his blood. God hates sin. And if there's sin in your life, God hates your sin. But God loves you. I want you to know that today. God loves you. It don't matter who you are, where you come from, what you've done, what your background is, what your creed or what your culture might be. God is in love with you. And he's come here to bless you. We are emotional beings. We are full of emotionals. And our mind is like a computer bank of memories, and these memories come together and they help create our personality. They create our character. They create how we act and react and respond to things that take place in our life. And they formulate within us these memories that we have. They formulate how we respond to things. Some of these memories are good, and some of these memories are bad. Different things can happen in our life that will bring back memories of things of our past. You can be going along just minding your merrily way, and somebody will say something. And the moment that word is said, it will remind you of something in your past, and your brain will bring it forward, and it will affect you whether it's good or bad, happy or sad. Your mind is so powerful that you can go from an instant of being joyous and then something happen and it reminds you of some horrible thing in the past. And you can go from being happy to weeping like a baby. God created us that way. He put these things in us. And the remarkable thing about all of this is our ability to change our feelings or our mind about something. Now, I was raised in South Louisiana. They call me a Cajun. My mom's full-blooded. My dad was from up in Shreveport, so I'm just a mutt. I got a little bit of everything in me. But I was raised down there where we eat frog legs and crocodile tail and boudin stuffed in pig intestines and all this good stuff. I'm telling you, if you'll ever go eat it, you'll never eat anything else. You crazy Jamaicans looking at me like I'm nuts. Look at the stuff you eat. I remember I went to a wedding one time, and I was eating some soup. They call it mannish water. It was the first time I was ever introduced to it. The soup was good until I pulled something up out of it. I said, "What's that?" And the guy said, "I'm really not sure. It might be part of the brain, or looks like it's part of the skin from the head or the back of the eyeball." I said, "What?" But I love frog legs. I could sit, we'd go gig them, kill them, catch them, kill them, pull the legs off, pull the vein out, throw them in the frying pan, cook them up. And we'd sit down and eat them. And, you know, don't mock it till you try it. I remember we took my boy out squirrel hunting for the first time. We went out and killed some squirrels and brought them back, and we showed them how to skin them up. We took them in, boiled them in milk, and then cooked and fried them up, put them on the plate. Had me and my children there. Elizabeth wasn't around. And we sat down, and when we got done, there wasn't nothing but little bitty old bones left on that plate. And they ain't never tried no squirrel to that day, but Dad cooked up some mean squirrel that day. But I remember I went to a restaurant one time, and I mean, I just love frog legs, but I went to a restaurant one time, and then I picked up that frog leg, and I bit down into that thing, and it was rotten. It wasn't spoiled. It was rotten. They had dropped that thing on the floor last week, found it this week, and thought they'd just dropped it. Picked it back up off the floor, because we don't waste nothing in South Louisiana. Run it under the water, baby. It's okay. Throw it in. I bit in that thing, and I mean, I instantly, every muscle in my stomach began to push out everything that was inside of me. It was not going to let that go down. It built a bridge, and it built a memory. And I went from loving frog legs to hating frog legs. And every time somebody'd come to the plate and they'd sit down and have a frog leg, I'd get sick. I'm like, I love frog legs. But I'd get sick because a bad memory got a hold of me. And it is amazing how things can affect us when they get down in our spirit and they get in our mind. And things that used to not affect us, all of a sudden they affect us. Now some things which to bring us joy, now they bring us sorrow and pain because of the memory that's associated with it. Good example of this would be a mother, the joy of a mother at some kind of entertainment place where they have these roller coasters and stuff, and a mama sit there and watch her little baby get up to the top and hear them scream as they come over and all of the excitement. But there was a mother interview where her child didn't die in this accident, but she was still interviewed, and an accident took place, and there were over 50 children that got killed on one of those roller coasters. This was quite a few years ago. A few years went by, and there was a mother standing there, and she was watching her child go up on the roller coaster, and they talked to her and interviewed her, and she said, "I used to love to watch little Johnny go up on that thing, but now every time he goes up, I wonder, is he going to come back down alive?" Things affect us. Things get in our spirit, and they change the way we think about them. We probably all have things in our lives which bring back memories in our mind and memories in our spirit which used to be joyful, but now they might be sad. So here we go. Here's Simon Peter. We find him in the text today denying the Lord three times. And Jesus said, "Simon, when you deny me three times, you're going to hear the old cock crow. And he's going to crow twice. You'll hear him once, and then you'll hear him again. And you'll know that this prophet prophecy has come to pass. And I can see old Simon as a child. I can see him walking through the streets. He was raised a fisherman. His dad was a fisherman. He took on his dad's trade. And they would walk through the little dusty roads of Jerusalem. And there the wildlife would run free. The lambs and the animals and the roosters. And they would get up early in the morning. And old Simon would hear that old rooster begin to screech its sound. Time to wake up, son. He would walk down the street and see one of them probably try to kick it or chase it down. But it was just a regular, old, normal, common noise to him. It didn't bother him. It didn't mean anything to him. It was just an old noise. I remember my wife and I, we evangelized. My Lord, it seems like eternity now, sweetie, but it was a long time ago, and I was probably 22, 25 years old, and we went to Rockport, Indiana, Brother Denham's church, and they put us out in this little trailer. They were kind of out in the sticks a little bit, and evangelists, you know, we stay up late, and we like to sleep in the morning time. We get up at the crack of noon and we'll start studying a little bit more because our job's in the evening, and then we go out at night and we stay up late, and so it's the way you get into that habit. We went into that little trailer and the first night there, and we were laying down and I was sound asleep, and it was 5:30 in the morning, and I hear I sat up in my bed and I looked out that window, and 1 foot from my window, up on a tree stump, was this arrogant rooster who thought he was bringing the sun up. And the higher the sun got, the louder he screamed. Because he thought he was doing a real good job. And he's so stupid, he thinks he does it every day. Because he did it every day that I was there. And I formed a habit of crawling out of bed at 5:30 in the morning. Because the rooster wouldn't let me sleep. And so old Simon Peter, he just an everyday occurrence of his life. But as Simon was walking, one day he was interrupted. A man called Jesus came by and said, "Simon, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." And Simon begins to dedicate his life to this man called Jesus. And for 3.5 years, Simon dedicates to him. And then finally it comes up where Jesus says, "I'm going to be delivered to men, and all of you are going to forsake me." And Simon Peter stood up and said, "Lord, I will never forsake you. I'll never deny you." And Jesus said, "Simon," or "Satan, get behind me." He wasn't calling Simon Satan. He was dealing with the Spirit. But he looked at Simon and he said, "Simon, before that old rooster crows twice, you will have denied me 3 times. No, Lord, it'll never happen. No, Lord, I'll never get in that position. No, Lord, I'll never find myself there. That'll never happen to me, God. I'll never deny you." Let me tell you something. Simon Peter believed what he was saying. He believed it with all of his heart. He had already gone through all kinds of things. It was Simon in the garden when they come to take Jesus who drew his sword and cut off the soldier's ear. Simon was brave. Simon was boisterous. Simon was strong. And he said, "God, I will never deny you." However, they came and took him. The Bible says the disciples were dispersed out of the Garden of Gethsemane. They went in different directions, but a few of them followed. afar off. They watched from the distance, James and John, Peter, maybe a couple of others. They kept their eye upon him. They watched him as they brought him in the Pilate's house. There they begin to judge him. And Peter finds himself warming himself by fire. And then I just stop right here and say this. When you get cold in Jesus, you better be careful which fire you warm yourself by. Now Peter is following Jesus afar off. Someone comes up. I know you. You were with that man. No. And an hour later, I know you. You're one. No. An hour later, I know you. You're one of them. No. I don't know him. Another book tells us he cussed. He started cussing like a fisherman, like a sailor. I never knew him. I never met him. And while he was screaming, he heard in the background the sound of a rooster. He kept swearing, then louder than any sound he had ever heard. I don't know how the sound of that rooster got to him. It went through the jeers of the people. It made it way past those around Simon, pointing their finger at him, saying, yes, you're one of them. It's like their voices faded out. It's like the crowd faded out. The only thing he could hear was the vibrating sound of that rooster as it came into his mind, and it changed his life forever. Stay with me for a little while here this afternoon. I'll try to get through this and make sense of all of this before it's over. To everybody else, it was an ordinary sound. Everybody else just ignored it. We always hear them. Oh, it might have been a little odd. It was crowing in the afternoon. It might have been one that had lost a few marbles along the way, and it couldn't tell if the sun was coming up or whether it was going down. We don't know. But everybody else ignored it because it didn't mean anything to them. But it had a connection between Peter and Jesus, and like nobody else, like nothing else. And it vibrated so loud. There are things in your life that everybody else ignores. Nobody else understands. But God has made a connection between you and him. He will use things in our life. He will use people in our life. He will use objects, incidences, circumstances, seasons of life. And he will tie our relationship to him. Jesus did not send the rooster to condemn Peter. He did not send the rooster to hurt him. He sent it to wake him up. Jesus knew Peter was on his way down a slippery slope. He was denying Jesus. And Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to send something your way to wake you up. My God. Woo! Lord, I hope I get through this. I'm going to sit, Peter. I'm telling you, when you hear the rooster, you're going to wake up. And there's some of you here today, you don't quite understand it, but God put it in your life. God's come today to stir you up. He's come today to wake you up. Let's everybody clap our hands to the Lord. Water break. God, it could be a single word. It could be an action or deed. Something you read or heard. But God has a way to send into your life the sound. And while you're sliding down that slippery slope of denial, and you can't quite figure out how to get back up where you were, God has a way of sending something into your life to stir you up. And the Bible said when Peter heard that rooster, he ran out and he wept. He wept. Oh God, forgive me. God, be merciful. God knew how to get him out. God knew how to get him away. God knew how to push him off. And God knows how to do it to you. It may be today. It may be tomorrow. It might be next week. But if you love God, he will find a way to send a rooster into your life. You might be standing in the crowd. Huh. They won't understand it. You'll just be talking. And all of a sudden, somebody will say something. And you'll hear. I know that sounds silly, but it got his attention. Whew. Or somebody will do something. Something will start beating on the inside of your heart. And the Bible says Peter turned and Jesus turned and they called one another's eyes. And that's what I hope what happens here today. I hope somehow that in the midst of your dilemma, in the midst of your backsliding, in the midst of your lukewarmness, in the midst of your just being off a little, that somehow your eyes will turn and meet the eyes of Jesus in this place, and something will be stirred up on the inside of you that will cause you to run down and weep bitterly before God. Have mercy on me, God. Forgive me, Jesus. Oh, let's love him. Will you love him right now? Will you send out some love right now? They won't understand it. But you'll just say, I gotta go. I gotta go. What's wrong, man? We're just getting started. I gotta go. Well, did I say something wrong? Oh, no. No, what you said was just right. God has come to awaken me. God has come to remind me. He has sent into my life the sound of a rooster, and I must go weep before him bitterly, before I throw my life away, before drugs and alcohol take it, before adultery takes it, before fornication takes it, before gambling takes it, nicotine takes it, immorality takes it, before any of these things take my life. God has sent a sound. He has awoken me. He put this in my spirit long ago, and he sent it there because he knew the day would come when I would need it to wake me up again, stir me up again, and get me up out of my slippery slope and get me back on the path with Jesus Christ. Oh, I wish you'd be into this message more than you are. I know you're listening, but you need to respond a little. You need to let the Holy Ghost deal with you. You need to let the Holy Ghost touch you. You need to let God know that this is moving you. This is moving you. It was the loudest sound he had ever heard. And I want to tell you, every morning, I don't know how long Peter lived, and I know he was forgiven. I know that. I know he was given the keys to the kingdom. I know he preached the gospel. First message to the Jews in Acts 2:38, the first message to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. The first message, I'm sorry, to Samaria in Acts chapter 8, and then the first message to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. I know he delivered the message, he delivered the keys, but I'm here to tell you, every morning when he got up and he heard the sound of that rooster, it reminded him, son, you're just one step away from denial. Peter, you're never so safe. Beware lest you think you stand. Beware. Beware if you think you stand, lest you fall. Peter, every day it rang in his ear. Peter, every day I'm reminding you, you're just a few steps away from denial. You're just a man. You must stay in my presence. You must stay prayed up. You must stay in my word. You must forsake all things that are unrighteous. You can't warm your hands by the wrong fire and think you're going to be able to walk with me. I hope God has something in every one of our lives that rings in us daily, that reminds us we're but frail humans who must run to him every day that we live and give our life to the King of Kings. There's going to be a lot of people. I got a few more minutes. You can be seated. It's going to be a lot of people who are going to wake up in hell. And the worst sound you're ever going to hear is the sound of this preacher screaming to you. Don't leave today without him. Don't leave today until you get your spirit in your heart, until he fills you with his Holy Ghost. Don't leave today until I bury you in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And if you do, I hope down the road before it's too late, Simon Peter, there's a rooster somewheres in your life that hollers out and reminds you of the right way to go and the right thing to do. There are all kinds of horrible sounds in this world today. And I don't mean to pick on no one. I don't mean to offend anyone. We live in a very difficult world. All kinds of situations. All kinds of horrible things. Many of them that happen that are not even your fault. But I have found personally most bad things that happened to me I caused. Most of them. There are a few exceptions. A few of you God sent, I didn't ask for. Just kidding. I asked for all of you. And I love you all. You know that. I pray that this message is the loudest thing you will ever hear. I pray that when you leave here today, it vibrates in your mind. And it vibrates in your soul. And it becomes the sound of a rooster to your spirit. And when you find yourself slipping away and falling down and you can't climb back up, I pray that this message will begin to reverberate in your spirit and yell out to you and cause your eyes to turn to meet the Lord's and know which way it is that you need to go. Parents today who knew to raise their children in the church, but they got out themselves. begin to dabble in things in the world. They raised their children in the world, and then later on, because they knew what to do, and they heard the sound of the rooster, and God came and stirred them up. They made their way back to the house of God. But you see, their children never heard it, because it was never there. And now the greatest sound of a rooster in their life is the fact that their children are unsaved. And I'm not here to depress you with that. I'm here to encourage you. God will certainly reach for them and save them if you will go out and weep before Him. He will grant you repentance. He will grant you repentance and save your children. It is His promise. Everywhere as I go, mothers will come to me and they'll say, "Pray for my children. They're backslid," only to find out the children were raised with hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness in the house. Children today who heard the prayers of their mother in their bedroom, or the prayers of their father, who today do not live for God. It's like the sound of a rooster to them, the clicking of a wine glass to an alcoholic who's dying of cirrhosis of the liver. It's like the sound of a rooster, the sound of a slot machine to the gambler who lost his family, his home, his job, everything. It's like the sound of a rooster screaming, yelling. And some of you have walked into this place here today, and while I'm preaching, you can hear that voice screaming. I don't know how you've done it. Somehow in the past you have managed to push it off. Somehow you have managed to ignore it. But today it's so loud. Today it's deafening. It's deafening. What do I do? I'll tell you what you do. You run to this altar. You throw yourself down and you begin to weep before God, and He will grant you forgiveness. Don't let this gospel become a horrible sound to you. Let it be a joy. My wife and I were in the van just a couple of days ago. I can't remember whether I was driving or not, but someone slammed on their brakes, and there was the squealing of tires. And I jumped in my seat. I looked around, and it startled Elizabeth, and she looked over at me, and she said, "You okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine." But when I was 16 years old, I used to think the stop sign meant spin tires on pavement. That's what I thought STOP stood for. I thought you'd get it eventually. And we'd hot rod around and go places and do things, until one day we were riding. We had a case of beer in the trunk and 5 gallons of white paint. What a combination. I wasn't drunk. I was just stupid. And we were jumping this hill. My wife finally got to see that hill. It wasn't as big as I made it sound like the first time I preached on it. I made it sound like I was jumping over Mount Everest. It was really just a little hump. But 125 miles an hour, it's pretty good. I told this to the church years ago, but I remember when my brother let me borrow his car, his last words was, "You can smoke dope and drink beer, but boy, don't you wreck my car." Brand new 1978 Buick Regal. No, it's not what it was. It was something else. Doesn't matter. It just was new. And so we're cruising. We had a few beers to drink. We go jump that hill like we used to. What we didn't know was the last time we came around, it had rained. The roads were wet. I'm speeding down there, and I can remember when we came over that hill, and the car came down, and we lost control of the vehicle. I was driving. Me and Yankee and Melinda was in the vehicle, all sitting up front. We just come from the beach. Car went out of control. It was amazing. For anybody that's ever been in an accident, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Everything went into slow motion. I could count the blades of grass. However, I'm doing about 125, 130 miles an hour. They estimate it somewhere around that speed. I don't know, the speed on the needle was gone, so I couldn't really tell. We were counting every blade of grass. I remember this little girl off the side of the road. She was on the other side of the ditch across the street, and I could see her mouth moving like this. Everything was in slow motion as the car began to go airborne. I remember looking at the leaves and the trees we went by, counting the leaves on the tree. The back of the car went right through a telephone post, snapped it in half like it was just a toothpick, and it sent the car spinning like this through the air, and it slammed into an oak tree, and it hit so hard all four wheels stayed off the ground and the drive shaft snapped in two. They said there was only enough room left in that big old six passenger car to sit one person, and we were all crammed up in that little bitty area. I came to, I don't know how, blood was everywhere. All the windshields were busted and gone, glass all over the place. I remember looking over at Yankee next to me. Actually, he was laying over me, and Melinda was pushed in behind us. I was trying to climb out of the window. About that time, people were getting there, and they didn't do a very bright thing. They drug me out of the car, but so be it. Not everybody's a medic. They pulled me out of the car and laid me down. They finally pried the door open. They pulled Yankee out, laid him beside me. And I can remember the men coming up to work on Yankee, and they worked on him, blew on him, in his mouth, and they pushed on his chest. And they said, no, this one's dead. We can't help him. And they went over to the girl that was in the car, and I could remember hearing her screaming as she cussing God and screaming. She was in pain, and I laid there, and I said, God, you see, you're looking at a boy whose mama raised him right. She might have been Baptist, but she raised me right. And she brought me to church every week, made us read the Bible every day, and I knew what was right. And I laid upon that ground, and I said, oh, God, if you'll save Yankee, I'll serve you all the days of my life. I'm sure all of you have made those promises. He did save him. Yankee convulsed from the inside. Blood shot out of his mouth, landed on his chest. Men ran over to him. He was in a coma for about 3 months in the hospital. But he did live, grew up, got married, had kids. And Melinda did as well. Grew up married and had children. God saved all the big mess. But now, and I can remember laying in the hospital bed, broken bones all over my body, cuts and stitches, and I was laying there, medicated, laying on that bed, and all wrapped up in all kinds of things, and 16 years old, and I laid on that bed, and a vehicle had screeched its tires outside my hospital window, and even though my ribs were broken, my body was hurt and bruised and cut, I remember come flying up out of that bed, because now C-S-T-O-P didn't mean spin tires on pavement to me anymore. Now every time I hear the sound of those screeching of the tires, it means death. And it means to me how much God loved me. And it meant to me how powerful a mother's prayers are. Because I know it was mama's prayers that saved my life. And now that sound has a totally different meaning to me. And God's got things in your life that will stir you up. Things in your life that will shake you up. And he has allowed the sounds of roosters to come into your life. Because when you stray too far, he knows just how to make them begin to vibrate in your ear again. And stir you up and cause you to come back to the house of God. Brother Sapp touched on it earlier, and I'm about to come to close. Music, if you'll come. Brother Sapp touched on it in the 2 o'clock service today when he was teaching. But Samuel told Saul, he said, Saul, go kill the Amalekites. What you got to understand is that when Samuel told Saul out of the commandment of God to go kill the Amalekites, he was fulfilling a 400-year-old prophecy that was made to Joshua. God told Joshua, I will wipe the seed of the Amalekites off the face of the earth for what they did to you and my people. 400 years later, Samuel comes to King Saul and says, Saul, go kill the Amalekites. Kill every woman, every child. Kill every goat. Kill every sheep. Kill everything that takes breath that belongs to the Amalekites. And Saul went in there and he did almost everything. But he kept the best sheep. And he kept the best oxen. And he kept the king Agag of the Amalekites to torment him. And when Samuel made his way back, he could hear the bleating of the sheep. And he said, "Saul, Saul, why did you not obey God?" And Saul stood up and said, "But I did obey God." Then Saul, "What is the bleating of the sheep that I hear?" And when Saul began to hear that sound, it became the sound of a rooster in the life of King Saul. I promise you there was never another day when he got up and heard the bleating of sheep that it did not remind him. And let me tell you something here this afternoon. If you think your disobedience only affects you, I've got news for you. Within 37 years, every seed of Saul was gone except for one, a crippled boy by the name of Mephibosheth, who lived in an old dirt hut forsaken by humanity, whom David remembered one day. So here's the question. Because let me give you the other side of that coin. The bleeding of sheep. Bah, in case you're wondering. The bleating of sheep to David, the second king of Israel, reminded him of the strumming of the harp, of the singing of songs of Zion to God. Let's stand if you will. The same sound that tormented Saul became beautiful to David. You know, that car I was riding in, they don't make them like they used to. They were made out of real metal back then. But that car I was riding in was designed to protect me. Protect me from the wind flying through the windshield. If something came in my direction, the metal would protect me. When you're going down the road at 50 miles an hour, you need something to protect you. That's why you're crazy if you ride a motorcycle. You're just insane. And you're going to leave and tell us everybody rides bikes or crazy. Well, that's what I said. It was designed to protect me and help me. But instead, because of the way I treated it, it became my tormentor and my pain. You see, this gospel isn't designed to condemn you. It's designed to save you. It's designed to heal your body when you're sick, deliver you when you're bound, give you direction when you're lost, give you peace when you're troubled, give you hope when you're hopeless. Give you comfort when you're alone. This gospel's awesome. It's designed to wash away your sins and make you a new person in Christ. Old things passed away, and behold, all things become new. But if you're not careful, become your tormentor. everywhere you go, you'll hear the preacher. Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. God will receive you unto himself. You'll hear him say, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of those sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, those words can become the sweetest words you've ever heard if you'll let God do it for you, or they can torment you for the rest of your life. Don't. Every eye closed, every mind on God, reach over and get your neighbor's hand. Lord, you're here today. Adversary has fought this service so hard because he knows he's about to lose. He's about to lose. I pray, oh God, Lord, while the preacher is preaching today, I know that some sounds of a rooster begin to go off in the hearts and the minds of some individuals here today. There's things, Lord. Some of us here today, some things we're touching, some things we're warming ourselves by, some fires that if we're not careful, they're going to cause us to do some things that's going to affect us for the rest of our life. They'll affect our families. They'll affect our marriages. They'll affect our children. We heard the old sound go off today. Spoke to us today, God. And you're dealing with us, Lord. You're dealing with us. You've sent that old rooster to get our attention, to cause our eyes to turn back to you before it's too late, that we might run to this altar, throw ourselves down, and begin to cry out to God. Some of us ought to already be in this altar. Don't worry about what people are going to think. Don't worry. It doesn't matter. Doesn't really matter. Doesn't matter. All that matters is God has spoke to you today. He spoke to your heart. He loves you so much. He's let that old rooster scream out today to stir you up and to turn you back in his direction. Get away from that fire, Peter. You're with the wrong crowd, Peter. Quit hanging around there. Watch out what you're doing, son. You play with fire, you're gonna get burned. And the sound has gone off. and our heart has begun to beat. It's not his condemnation. It is your salvation. Don't you understand? It's the loudest sound you ever hear. And it will remind you every day of your life as it tries to keep you back on the right track. You're never so safe. Oh, that's it, church. Let's pray. Let's let God deal with us. Let's let God talk to us. Young lady, young man, I wish you'd make your way down to this altar. Quit playing religion. Religion's not something to play with. You ought to be in this altar. You ought to be crying out to God. Tears ought to be flowing. You need to be weeping before the Lord, crying out to God. He loves you, and he has sent this message to stir you up today. Don't let this word be your tormentor. Let it be your blessing. Come give your life to him. Come give your heart to him. Don't hold anything back. Let that old heart break. Let your mind, let your spirit break. God's talking to each of us individually. He's talking to us. He's dealing with us. Oh, yes, come on. Come on, you know. Some of us been touching some things we shouldn't be touching. We've been messing around with some stuff we shouldn't be messing around with. And God sent a message today to cry out in our ears and cause our eyes to turn to him. What is that, Peter? Hey, Simon. What is that? Is that the sound of a rooster? Jesus loves you, Simon. He loves you. He told his disciples, he said, go tell Peter I love him. Go tell Simon I forgive him. Go tell Simon to come. I want to see him. That's what God's doing today. That's what God's doing right now in our life. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. He's come to tell you, I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm letting that sound go off because I love you. I'm allowing that rooster to cry out because I love you. Let the noise of the world go behind you. Let the jeers of the crowd fade away. Let the attraction of the world fade out. Oh, yes. Let the only thing you hear be the sound of a rooster. Let it stir you up. Let it break your heart. Let it drive you to your knees. Let it wake us up. Make us realize, oh, God, where we are. Fill you with the Holy Ghost. If you've never had it, let him come in for the first time. Let's love him. God loves us. He loves us.
yourself to him today.
My
mind, my will, my heart, my body, my dreams, I give it all to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm coming back to my call. I'm coming back to the ministry. Hallelujah. I'm coming back to my relationship with God. Sing it from your heart. I give myself.
I give myself away. So you and you.
Give myself away.
Give myself away. I give myself away.
Hallelujah. Come on, God is awakening his people. The Bible says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. Hallelujah. If you'll heed the call, if you'll listen to the voice of God and respond, make a decision. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to my relationship with God. I'm coming back to my faithfulness. I'm coming back, amen, to operate in my ministry. Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, wake up. Too many people sleepwalking. Too many people walking around asleep. It's time to wake up the church. We've got a world to reach. Peter, you've got to preach the message. Oh,
I give myself away.
I give myself to the call of God. I give myself to the call of God. Decisions will affect my children and my grandchildren. Oh, give myself away. Yeah. Oh. Come on. Hallelujah. Here I am.
Here I am.
Here I stand. In your hand.
My life is not my own. To you,
Yes, Lord, yes. Somebody to encourage. Before you leave, just find one person to encourage. Amen. Find somebody to encourage. You can make it. You can overcome everything in this world.